in the People's Tribune Radio. I'm Kenny Shook.
Jesus was a Palestinian Jew. He was not a Christian. He came to speak on the fact that all mankind, men and women, everybody was a child of God. Everybody had rights. Everybody should love and be loved. And he didn't build a religion. He was building a way of life.
People's Tribune Radio is brought to you by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, who also publishes the newspaper People's Tribune, Tribunal del Pueblo. Contact and ordering information will be provided at the end of the show. On this edition of People's Tribune Radio, we attempt to look at U.S. society's moral values. To do so, we visit the Community Homeless Alliance Ministry, or CHAM, to discuss morality. This Christian organization, located in the heart of San Jose, California, operates a homeless shelter and ministry for some of San Jose's most destitute people. CHAM's message is a moral message of the necessity to work for the needs of the less fortunate. Correspondent Steve Miller begins the discussion of moral values with CHAM Outreach Director Sandy Perry and Deacon Togo Togo.
So I came down here because it's very clear that the issue of moral values has become an important issue today in America. George Bush claims that's his margin of victory, that he was a moral person and spoke to moral family values. And I just wanted to find out how you guys feel about this, and what do we really mean by moral values anyway?
Well, the Bible is very clear about what moral values are. Moral values are taking care of the sick, taking care of the hungry and thirsty, the people that are homeless, and taking care of the poor. It's that simple. That's in Matthew chapter 25. That's what we're judged on. Our whole, as individuals and as a society, we will be judged exactly on that. So that's what our understanding of moral values is.
Yes, and also let's not mistaken. We don't want to make it seem sound like we're only using one passage of the Bible to justify our cause or our argument and so forth. But the Bible itself speaks of love, compassion, peace, and love thy neighbor. Love your enemy, as a matter of fact. I mean, it goes in conjunction with everything in the Bible, not just one specific book, from the beginning of Genesis to Revelation. That's what the Bible is talking about. Moral values in America in the last 4 years, I see it changing into worse conditions, economy, everything, employment, healthcare system. Housing, homelessness, poverty is way beyond than ever before. I mean, I don't know if America knows the meaning of the word, you know, moral values, that we always hear them talk about family values. You know, I don't see that.
Yeah, I think another issue around moral values is that moral values are what holds society together. And we're at a time of transition right now. And even if you look at the Bible was written, well, of course, over several thousand years, but at different times of transition from one society to another. In Jesus' time, for example, it was a time when the Roman Empire was consolidating its control over the area of Palestine, and it was destroying all the old Jewish institutions at that time and undermining them and destroying them. So morality in Jesus' time was upholding the ancient values of Jewish society, you know, going back, you know, through the centuries to when they lived as a tribe, and people lived in villages cooperatively, and we're coming back to the question of morality now, because society is being destroyed. Our schools are being destroyed, our homes are being destroyed, our medical care system is being destroyed. The world as we know it is being torn apart by the changes in the economy. The only way to mobilize people to deal with this situation is with some kind of vision that it doesn't have to be this way. And I think we can get a lot of that vision out of the Bible.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, I find it very interesting. Right after the election, the very next day was one of the papers, one of a well-known paper, had a quote that it was stating that America's moral majority sweeps Bush back into the White House, the Daily Telegraph. I feel that it's true in a sense, but also we must be very careful because I think that the religious sector has been very wrongfully led by President Bush, and I'll be very upfront to say it. The one thing I can say is this, some of the signs that I see, that the reason why I said there's no moral values in this president is that, you know, how can it be moral values when we have hunger? You know, hungry people, poverty, people of poverty without homes, healthcare problem issues in America, and we're sending our troops over there in Iraq, supposedly for the name of democracy. It's not even democracy right now. You know, that's horror going over there right now. So while we sit here and spend $4 billion there a day, you know, there's a big question there. I mean, in my mind, I start asking myself, oh, they say they don't have money and stuff to take care, or the resources, for that matter, to take care of our problems here, right here in our backyard. But we sure have enough money to create the most powerful weaponry for the demise of mankind. You know, I mean, so again, that there goes that question of, you know, morality, moral values, you know, and so forth.
We're living in a country where the government and its leaders are openly saying that the solution is to privatize everything,
yes,
to for the government to get out of the people business.
Yes.
And are they redirecting our morality to justify this? Do you see evidence of people taking what people have accepted as morality and twisting it around to somehow justify this kind of, if you want to say, robbery of our birthright?
Absolutely. I mean, one example is the increasing privatization of healthcare. More and more, it's being taken over by gigantic corporations. In our area, we have a hospital corporation called HCA, which I believe is the largest hospital corporation in the country. And they recently gave a 90-day notice that they were shutting down a downtown hospital. There's 35,000 patients a year use that emergency room, and now they have nowhere to go. And they say because they're a private corporation, they can do whatever they want. And it's not their obligation to treat the poor. The other thing they're doing, they also own a neighboring hospital called Regional Medical Center, and they're going to refuse to accept any Medi-Cal patients. So these are the types of things.
They did.
Right. These are the types of things that are being done, and there's no morality about it. It's just a naked pursuit of profit. There's nothing moral about it. It's completely immoral, and it's a violation of everything that we were brought up to believe.
Just to follow up on what Brother Sandy was saying is that they're trying. They're not trying. They're doing it. I guess my wife was one of them for when she was having her pregnancy, the last pregnancy term that she had. When she went in to call for an appointment, they won't accept her there at the regional hospital. The doctor told her, no, I cannot see you. So I called him right back and I asked him, I said, because it's kind of funny that you won't take her for appointment, but you will take her when she comes in to labor for my child. Why? Because of the differences in the money situation of what Medi-Cal pays you and what they pay you for appointments. And they transfer me right away to a different person. They call my wife back in 15 minutes to come in and do the appointment. Of course it is that. So, you know, it's just more signs of the times we're in, you know. More or less jobs and so forth. But the number one concern is like insurance, healthcare issues. You know, it's the biggest one. And I mean, I just can't believe how America can say that they don't have the resources and they don't have the know-how, you know.
Right. I mean, the whole issue of privatization raises the issue of private property and how a society is organized. The Bible is very clear about that. It says that the earth belongs to God. And God allows human beings to use it to develop, to take care of themselves, and to take care of society. He allows human beings to have private property as long as it's used for the benefit of society. And I think what you see in our society, private property is no longer used for the benefit of society. And that example of the HCA Corporation is a good example. The whole community here says we need a hospital, and they say, see ya, we can make more money if we close it down.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious that the whole use of private property, it's gone outside of any use that was allowed or promised in the Bible. You know, there's a parable in Mark chapter 12, it's called the parable of the tenants. It's saying that God was the landlord in a particular place, and when the tenants misused that land and did not distribute it equally to others and did not give to God, which in our view is giving it to the poor, then God went in and destroyed those tenants and gave the property to other people. And we feel that we're in a similar situation in America, where private property is being misused to enrich people to ridiculous amounts which no human being can possibly spend, and to impoverish everybody else. And when your economy has come to that, you're in a situation where, in order to keep that economy going, actually you have to destroy the morality of your country. And that's what's going on. Our morality is being destroyed by the people that run this country. And that's why they spend all their time talking about gay marriage or abortion or something else, because they're completely immoral in every other aspect of life.
One of the parables, when the richest man that was in town came and asked Jesus, what would he do to gain kingdom of God? And Jesus told him to go and sell your riches, give your riches to the poor. He had a big problem with that, you know. The other thing too, it was that we go through the whole Bible, it tells us, it teaches us. He said, I will give you dominion over earth. But he did not say to come and give dominion over man and, you know, enslave people in poverty. They did not say that. He talked about equality. There's another parable in there too where the richest man was making fun of Lazarus when he used to go to the temple and pray and stuff. But when he died, he seen Lazarus over there with Abraham dining. You know, we got servants and so forth. And he's over here in the pit of hell. So if those does not tell me, teach me anything, I wonder what kind of morals that America is talking about President Bush. You know, and I'm not here to judge no one by all means. Let's get that clear.
Right, but you do have some questions.
Yes, I do have a lot of questions.
You're tuned in to People's Tribune Radio. Steve Miller is speaking with members of the Community Homeless Alliance Ministry about moral values in the U.S.
Sister Adrienne has joined us, and we're discussing moral values, and now the president claims that he has a mandate because he ran on moral values. This is a big, big topic that a lot of people have a lot of opinions about, but they seem to only talk about moral values as same-sex marriage and possibly abortion. Is there other moral values that are also important here?
Absolutely. The true meaning of being moral, if you look it up, has to do with right actions between human beings. That's what it means to be moral. And unless we're having correct actions between human beings, we're not being moral. And for them to stand on a platform of control, controlling a woman's choice or controlling who sleeps with whom, that's satanic in my viewpoint. That's not a right action between one human being to another at all. The greatest value that God seems to have outside of love is radical free will, the freedom of choice. And a lot of people would postulate, okay, well, we hate the sin but love the sinner. Well, we've all fallen short. And if there's at any time that we decide that we can beat our chest and say we're better than our brother or sister who's doing whatever it is they're doing that we want to call sin, sin simply means you're missing out on love. You've missed the mark of God's perfection of love. That's why perfect love casts out all fear. It's harmatia is the word in the Greek, and it means to miss the mark. It's an archer's term. So all of us have missed that mark. All of us fall short of the glory of God. The only thing that we can do as human beings between each other is love one another as we would want others to love ourselves. That's it. Love the Lord our God with all our hearts, our mind, our strength, and to love our neighbor, whoever that may be, as we love ourselves. Jesus was a Palestinian Jew. He was not a Christian. He came to speak on the fact that all men, all mankind, men and women, and children he reached out to, just in case anybody was wondering about children too, that everybody was a child of God. Everybody had rights. Everybody should love and be loved. And he didn't build a religion. He was building a way of life. And he came to say, I love God so much that I'm taking on this on his behalf because he loves you so much. And he wants you to know. Human beings, not Christians, not Muslims, not Buddhists, human beings, you belong to God. And I've paid a price so that you can all know that you believe in, that you belong to God and he belongs to you. All those of you who want to believe that, then cling to that because that's the truth. And through that information, we learn to love each other. I can't understand the dwelling upon one or two issues except that it serves. It serves his issue at this time to get back into office. Perhaps. I still think he stole it like he did the first election. But that's my own personal opinion. And perhaps it's time to have someone in office that's either going to show us what Hitler was all about, because maybe we need to wake up and see that in this day and time. It's been about 50 years or so. Or we're going to pray hard and long for this man, and he's going to change and show us what love is all about. I believe it's going to go one way or the other. But you're not moral. None of us are moral unless we're being right to each other.
CHAM is a ministry that has led the fight against the horrors of poverty here in San Jose. And one of the ways that America paints poverty these days is that it's all an individual problem. That if people are poor, they deserve to be poor, that it's their own fault. How do you answer this question, and how do you speak to people who come to you in poverty but believing this sort of thing?
Well, we preach responsibility, that individuals should be responsible for their decisions and what they have the power to do. So we always preach individual responsibility, but at the same time, we preach that the people in power also have a responsibility. And in fact, well, an example that we have a lot of familiarity with in San Jose is around the issue of housing. Now, somebody who comes to our church and is homeless and doesn't have a job, we feel they have a responsibility to do the best they can to try to get up on their feet and find work. But when they go out looking for housing, is it their responsibility that there's a shortage of 16,000 housing units, affordable housing units? Of course not. The politicians are responsible for those, for solving those problems. And for people to some way blame the poor for social problems, for lack of employment, for lack of housing, for lack of medical care. If a corporation moves a hospital out of the area, you're blaming a person for being sick? I mean, it's the height of absurdity.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that once upon a long time ago in America, we believed strongly in the Bible. As a matter of fact, most of the law that is in the Constitution is so similar to the Ten Commandments. So I believe our fathers have founded this country under the belief of spirituality. But as things progresses to capitalism, to its peak, you know, they no longer care about the welfare and the well-being. Of course, there's a lot of reasons why a person could be homeless. There's a lot of many reasons. But God did not send us here to look at, you know, and try to find out and worry about the reason. We was called to help one another and love the least amongst, you know, among each and every one of us. You know, that's what we're trying to do here.
You're tuned into PT Radio. Community Homeless Alliance Ministries pastor Scott Wagers shares with us why CHAM chooses to work with the poor and homeless.
The Bible, actually more specifically, Jesus is clear on his chief message is about poverty and people that are disenfranchised, people that are disaffiliated from the norm of his time. He calls them the least of people, the least of these. It's clear in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, that Jesus is talking about God's final judgment of people, and he separates people as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And it's clear that Jesus is saying God expects us to house, feed, clothe, visit, to embrace, especially the least of these. That's the cornerstone of the Chan ministry, is that we believe that the last shall be first and the first shall be last, that the least of people are most important to God. And in the discourse of liberation theology, that's called God's preferential option for the poor, that God makes an option for the poor. He actually chooses to manifest himself through the poor and disaffiliated of the world, that the oppressed, the poor, the destitute, the marginalized are God's people on earth who will usher in the kingdom of God on earth. This is something that is actually clearly stated in the book of Luke. Jesus' proclamation, I have come to preach good news to the poor. I'm anointed to this end. He makes clear in his inaugural speech what he's going to do. Like when George Bush gives an inaugural speech, Jesus lays out his agenda and fulfills it. And it would be hard, I think, for any Bible, so-called Bible scholar to refute that Jesus makes that option for the poor. So we're trying to get that message across, that God is expecting America to take its resources of economic power and to use them to benefit the least of people. And that's God's judgment on America. And Martin Luther King was clear that in his theology he had the same belief that God would judge America based on what it did not do for African-American people, people of all people of color, and the poor. And I really believe that's, you know, Bible people in America, you know, use the Bible to promote this religious right agenda. But any student of the Bible or non-student of the Bible can see what Jesus is doing. And the message is often distorted because people have agendas. But Jesus speaks for himself, and common sense speaks to that. That Jesus makes reference to his coming for the lost sheep and his preference for lost people. And of course, that's in the content of our Bible study tonight. It gets him in all the trouble. And if he came to America today, he'd be in the ghettos. He'd be against the war. He would be for loving everybody.
He would be in San Quentin tomorrow. He'd preach over here today.
He would be visiting the prisoners and holding them up and trying to rehabilitate them, not condemn them to eternal death. So our society has his teachings wrong, even though we hang so much, in theory, on what Jesus has said or done. That's one of the preacher's favorite proclamations, is what would Jesus do? Common sense tells you.
Yes.
Well, Jesus would take care, first and foremost, of the people in his immediate region, and he did, and that he would do, that what he would do last is declare war on people in the interest of money and oil. And that's, I think that's, it's been proven that Bush went to war under false pretenses, and that it doesn't take a political scientist to see that the politicians today are in the pockets of wealthy and powerful people, and there needs to be an alternative to that. And we want to use the scripture for its rightful purpose, which is to set people free. And the scripture was used by Abe Lincoln to help justify abolition. And of course, it inspired the civil rights movement, and it now has to be applied to eradicate poverty. Because that's the will of God, as proclaimed by Jesus himself. Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven, the kingdom of God comes. And the kingdom of God coming means the eradication of all forms of oppression, of unnecessary war, of hatred and violence, and the liberation of people of all color, and especially those who have been oppressed historically. And that's an idea whose time is coming in America. And I think the most recent election points out there should be a discussion about moral values. What are moral values? Jim Wallace on Hardball, actually, was debating with the head of the Southern Baptist, Jim Wallace, who's the editor of Sojourners. He was saying that Jesus, there's 2,000 verses in the Bible at least about poverty. Poverty is a common ground issue, even with the evangelicals. So let's talk about poverty. Why does America have a growing poverty rate, and what does God think about that? If we're going to be judged for not allowing or allowing women to have abortion and the right to choice, why wouldn't we be judged for neglecting the poor? Who are, you talk about right to life, they're living, and most now they're dying because we neglect them. So that's Cham's message. We want to make poverty a central issue because poverty is the place from which all of these issues stem. Without addressing poverty, we're denying the emperor has no clothes on, because that's the biggest issue in the history of mankind. The cornerstone issue is poverty. In the Old Testament, Moses and Pharaoh, the issue is some people have and most people have not. And it just displeases God. And he came to liberate the Israelites based on freedom and the love of God. God says, I have heard the cry of my people and I will set them free. And is God hearing the cry of America's and the world's poor? Who pays for these wars? Who fights these wars? It's never the rich. And Jesus says, and I want to say, last thing I'm going to say, we're going to cover it next week. It's the sixth chapter of Luke. He says, woe to you who are rich. You've received your reward. And that's Jesus speaking, not Pastor Scott. But Jesus is clear about rich people. And he says it's hard for a rich man to go to heaven. It's hard as just for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. He's making a very important point about the nature of pursuing wealth and the nature of having wealth and what it does to corrupt the soul. And that's evident in America. And people go along with it. But if Jesus were here today, he would say, well, woe to you who are rich. And those of you who aspire that way, because you're missing the message of my kingdom.
That is it for this edition of People's Tribune Radio. If you would like to find out more about the Community Homeless Alliance Ministry, you can visit their website at www.cham-ministry.org. That's www.cham-ministry.org. PT Radio is brought to you by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. The League advocates for a cooperative society where everyone's needs are met. If you would like to find out more about our organization, our other print and media resources, or inquire about our speakers bureau, you may do so by calling us toll-free 1-800-691-6888. The number once again is 1-800-691-6888. If you can, visit our website, where you may download other programs or donate to the League at www.lrna.org. Again, I'm Kenny Shook, and on behalf of the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, thanks for listening, and please join us next time for People's Tribune Radio.